What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to the Real Talk with Zuby podcast. Now, on today's episode, we have got on a special guest. In fact, I am recording this right here in her studio, so she's in the hot seat, and I've got the interviewer seat. And this is the host of the YouTube channel, Just Pearly Things, and the show, The Pregame. And this is, of course, Pearl Davis. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
No doubt. Thank you for having me as well.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Pearl, for people who are not familiar with who you are and what you do, tell them a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I run the YouTube channel, Just Pearly Things, as you said, and I do a live show 4 times a week, which is affiliated, I would say, with the red pill and like conservative space. It's kind of a mix. I also play semi-pro volleyball and basketball in England. And I'm from Chicago, mm-hmm. So I have 10 siblings, or 9 total, 10. Or 9 siblings, 10 total kids.
Okay. So where did you grow up?
So I'm from Chicago, the suburbs, originally.
Okay. And you are one of 9 kids. That's a big story. So tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah. Well, 10 total. So okay. It was, okay, growing up, I was 1 of 6.
Okay.
And so sometimes when people ask me how many siblings I have, I don't know how to answer. Because growing up, I was the 2nd of 6. As far as I knew, there were 6 kids. Then when I was 22, I found out I had a brother and I literally had no idea. It was like a shock.
Oh, wow.
And so my mom and my dad got pregnant when my mom was, younger. She was 18, mm-hmm. and she was just starting college. So, and her and my dad had only known each other like 3 months. So it wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. so they ended up giving that kid up for adoption and I didn't meet him until he was like 31.
Oh, wow.
And so then that's 7. And then they also, took in a teenager. In their early 20s, that she's like our 2nd cousin, but we like to adopted her. And then there was 2 other teenagers they adopted. One was another like 2nd cousin, because my dad's 1 of 13, my mom's 1 of 9, so I have, oh, like, wow. I have a lot of cousins.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then we took in, there's a kid that was homeless on my brother's football team and they ended up adopting him too.
Okay.
So total there's 10, but like when I was growing up, it was 6. I was the 2nd of 6, and then I like found out about 1, and then they adopted 3 after I was out. Like I wasn't in the house when they came.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. What was it like growing up in such a big family?
It was good. I think it's a shame that more people like don't have that. They were kind of annoying when you were younger because everyone like, okay, the first 10 years of my life, I didn't know what it was like to not have someone crying or throwing a temper tantrum or something, because there's just always something, like someone was fighting or whatever. But like when you get older, it's so cool because I don't really need friends because I can just hang out with my siblings, you know? And so, I mean, friends are cool too, but like,
it's
just cool to like have people that you have something in common with and you can like always go back to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm from a big family as well. I'm 1 of 5.
Oh, wow.
My dad is 1 of 11,
oh,
and
wow.
My mom is 1 of 6 or 7.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, I'm used to the big family dynamic, but I think having 4 siblings versus having 9 is even, I mean, nine is, that's a big number.
Yeah, but you remember when I was growing up, it was five.
It was five, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So when I was in the house, there was five siblings.
I hear that.
And the other, like the three teenagers were adopted when they were like 16. So they were really only in our house for like 2 years.
Okay. How old were you when they were adopted?
Well, the first one, I wasn't born. Okay. So like Mary, she's my oldest sister. Mm-hmm. I was one when she moved out. Mm. And then the other two were later. So Brian was adopted when I was 18. So I was a freshman in college. And Chaz came the year after. It was kind of weird because I came home and like Chaz was just there. And I was like, who's this?
Like, that's your brother.
And Adam, well, he wasn't adopted then. Yeah. Adam, my other brother, Adam, just brought him home. And like didn't really tell anyone. And it was kind of like, okay, how long is he staying?
Yeah.
And then he just never left.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, so it was good on him. He picked a good family to.
That's interesting. Tell me a little bit about your parents. They sound interesting.
So my parents, they own a software company. So my dad and my mom. Trying to think. Yeah. So my dad started the company when he's like 4 years older than my mom or five. So he was like 21, 22. Mm-hmm. And my mom was supposed to be a teacher. Mm. And my mom ended up quitting being a teacher to work for him. And then they started like a huge company. And then they ended up employing like 200-300 people. And yeah. And that's the thing, like, that's kind of what got me into Red Pill, because I would hear all these things about like high value men. And I was like, well, that's not really what I grew up with.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people don't really understand like what it takes to like build something like that. Mm. Like most people don't want to work 80, 90 hours a week.
That's no.
Like, no.
No. Tell me a little bit more about your dad.
I love my dad. My dad and I are really close.
I can sense that you have a really good relationship with him.
Yeah. He's my dad's like the hardest working person I know. And it's really cool because he doesn't drink. He doesn't have social media. He doesn't like he's just like literally, like one of the best people I know. That's the best way I could say to describe him.
That's awesome.
And he helps me. Like, he's so helpful. Like, he would always be the type when someone was, like, carrying bags, like, out of, like, a store that he didn't even know, he would just, like, take them and bring them to their car. Mm. And, like, he didn't even know the person.
Okay.
And he's just that type of guy.
That's awesome. Now, you started your YouTube channel when?
I think I had an account. I started posting about a year and a half ago, maybe. Mm-hmm.
And what was the first content you were putting out there?
I did a house tour.
Okay.
In my parents' house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I did rap music reactions after that.
Okay. Okay. What made you even want to start a YouTube channel to begin with?
I just like YouTube. I've just I've never really watched TV or movies. Even yesterday on the show when they said that actor, I was like, I have no idea who that is. Because I just watch YouTube. Yeah, so I don't know. It was kind of like I was in sales and I hated sales. Oh my God, it was horrible. The worst 2 years ever. And I was just like miserable. And it was funny. I saw your channel.
Okay.
And you were like one of the first content creators that was kind of like dabbling in everything I was interested in. So it was like you did the political stuff, you did music, and you did, you wrote too. You wrote a book. Yeah. And so I was kind of like, and you did the fitness, and that was like all the things that I was interested in. And I was like, oh my God, you can make money doing those things. And I remember I showed my dad your website and I was like, Dad, I don't know what I want to do. Cause I quit my job randomly and I just moved home. Uh-huh. It was a bold move. I told him I was going to be a TikToker and I didn't even tell him I was moving home. I just like did it.
Yeah.
They were not excited.
Moving home from where?
I was in Milwaukee.
Okay.
So I worked in sales for 2 years in Milwaukee and I just hated it. So I quit my job and moved home and then told them I was going to be a TikToker. And then I started YouTube.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And when did things start to, because your channel's grown really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you, so you did your house tour and then you did some reaction videos and then what after that?
I would not recommend people start the way, like do it the way I did. Cause rap reactions actually put me on the map. Like I got me like 20,000 subs.
Okay.
But it kept getting demonetized. So then someone sent me a Kevin Samuels video and I reacted to it. It was like Whitest Girl on Earth reacts to Kevin Samuels. Because that's what the rap ones would be. It would be like Whitest Girl on Earth reacts to Pooh Shiesty or Whitest Girl on Earth reacts to like, and I would like interpret the music.
Okay.
And like it would be wrong. Like, I found out what a stepa is. I didn't know what that was.
A stepa?
Yeah, I can't remember anymore, but that was like one of the first.
I don't even know if I know that one. I'm a rapper, and I'm like, yeah. Man, I don't even know if I know that one.
Well, I think you're maybe a little different than the stuff.
Yeah,
I know
most slang though, but I'll have to look that one.
So I would Urban Dictionary a lot. Then after Kevin Samuels, that was kind of when I went into Red Pill, and then my channel just kept going. So I just kind of started doing what worked.
Gotcha. So are you the whitest girl on earth?
I would say yes.
Yeah.
I do. I will say I do freestyle a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, I didn't know that. I'm not gonna put you on the spot on a podcast.
Oh, you could.
Really?
No.
Okay. Oh, I was like, well, you're gonna be the first person to rap on the podcast.
No. I would say probably like where I grew up. Probably. Yeah. It was pretty suburban, you know.
I hear that. Yeah. So you mentioned the term red pill. Now some of my audience may know that. I think a lot of them won't. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that when you say red pill content?
So I just mean, I think it's a Matrix reference, which I've actually never seen the Matrix. That's what I say. I don't really watch movies. So, but it basically means like, this is the way the world, like you think the world is, and then you take the pill and you see how it really is. So I think a lot of guys are confused because they're told to just be nice to women and like put them on a pedestal. And we don't like that.
Okay, why not?
Why? Because usually those guys don't have a backbone, and we don't like a guy that can't tell us no. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like, those guys can't. And so they've just been told their whole life to, like, say yes to whatever she wants to make her happy.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, happy wife, happy life. Mm. But, like, I feel like women, we don't even know what we want.
At least you're honest.
Nah.
So what is it that drew you into that space? Because it's obviously primarily male space.
I'm nosy.
Okay.
I'm very nosy.
Okay.
It started with pickup. I went to a pickup artist conference.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Vegas. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This was an interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Because what I did was, I would see things from like Steph is Cold. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I know Steph is Cold.
You know, and like, alpha male strategies. He'd be like, fuck these hoes to sleep. I'm like, oh my God. You can see all these are on my channel, like, yeah. Old. Like, I'm like, ah. And so I was just interested in like the tricks they would say. I mean, I don't even want to say tricks, but like how to build attraction with the girl. Cause it was really interesting to hear it from like, the men's point of view. Kind of like if you were to listen to like, I don't know, some sort of, like gold digger conference.
Gold digger conference. I was gonna say women don't have nor need games. So.
I mean, if you wanna, it would be like how to lock down a.
Yeah.
Like it would be interesting to hear what they would say.
Yeah.
So I was kind of listening to it, and it all led to me. I went to this pickup artist conference, which is nuts. Because these guys just would spend thousands of dollars to go to these conferences to learn how to get laid. I was like, I gotta see this.
Yeah.
And. Yeah, it was interesting. And I was like, wow, that is harder than I thought.
How many women were there? You must have been in a...
I was the only one.
You were the only woman at the whole thing?
Oh, of course. Well, it wasn't like a big conference.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm probably not describing it right. Okay. It was like 10 to 12 guys.
Got it.
And like three instructors. Mm. And it was wild because the instructors, like, they took home a different girl every single night.
Mm-hmm.
Like probably five total in 3 days, which is mad. I was like, oh my... Wild and in these streets.
So it was like a multi-day event.
Yeah, and they would just like tell the guys like approach the girls this way. This is how you build attraction, or like this. You know what I mean? Like don't bore her. Like that sort. And some of it I could see like as being helpful. Like because I think a lot of guys are awkward. They don't really know how to. Yeah, and women are difficult. You know. Like I'm not gonna say.
So all this just stemmed from nosiness. Because I asked that because a lot of women have a visceral aversion and almost disgust to that whole world of pickup and the manosphere and the red pill and all that. And it seems like you didn't have that type of reaction.
It started with that. And then because pickup kind of led into red pill.
Okay.
And I am a big believer in like men's rights because I do think that men are discriminated against in society.
How so?
Like I just think that, you know, there's this whole culture of like men are trash, men are the problem. And it's very like okay for women to like say stuff like that. And I just don't agree with it. I have five brothers. I love my brothers. Shout out Adam. He helps me every month with accounting. So I just don't agree with that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And then tell me more about this journey. So you went to this pickup artist conference.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were the only girl there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then how did they react to you, in fact? Did they think they must have thought you were an agent or a spy or something?
I met some interesting characters. Oh my God. This one guy told me about how he wanted to do like world domination. Okay. Yeah, it was
just like that.
Yeah, yeah. He was like conservative, but it was like the most. You think I'm pretty conservative? Oh my God, this man wanted to like take over the world. It was, but no, they were all really nice. Yeah. I mean, I think they would be to a girl like if you're, you know, but no, I mean they were nice. It was just interesting to watch because it was crazy. They had to approach so many girls just to like get one to talk to them, and I was like, wow, this is harder than I would think it would be.
Okay. Yeah. I think women have no idea how much rejection implicitly and explicitly men face, because a woman can go her entire life and never approach a man and never really get outright rejected in the way that a guy gets outright rejected. And I think also women don't understand how much confidence it takes to approach a woman in person that you're attracted to. Most women literally would never do it the other way around, but they don't understand that. It's funny because women are intimidated by men due to our physical capacity, right? So a woman might be, if she's out and about and there's strange men, you know, she might be on guard in terms of her own physical protection and safety. But I think that most women don't understand just how intimidating an attractive woman is to the average man.
I don't think most women are that scared to like that are intimidated because of men or anything.
I feel like
No. I feel like if they did, they wouldn't.
When I say intimidated, I mean a general level of just heightened physical awareness. You don't think that's common?
I mean, if it was, I wouldn't see these girls getting drunk at 2 a.m. walking down. Like,
yeah, maybe because I'm also thinking quite globally here.
Oh, sure, maybe not globally, but I'm thinking in the West. I'm just like, I don't. Half the girls that come on my show are going to a place they've never been, being recruited by a dude. Like,
fair enough.
I don't think they're that scared.
Yeah, fair enough. So what was the thing? What were some things that surprised or shocked you, or things that you really learned where like a penny just dropped and you were like, oh wow, okay, I didn't know it was like that.
Oh my God, these guys. Okay, because the guys at the conference, some weren't like, I wouldn't say any of them were like ugly. Like they're okay, you know, and they would get like rejected by whales harshly. And I'm like, girl, you're lucky he's talking to you.
Yes.
I'm like, it would be like a mega whale, like a beluga whale. And so I was like, oh my gosh, they're better looking than her. And she's turning him down. That's when I was like, wow.
Yep.
Well, and I was like, I wonder if I've ever like done the same thing. And so, and then the other thing that I've never thought about is just how like girls are bailed out of every bad decision we make.
Okay.
And I didn't really realize that until I started like watching the red pill stuff. But really, in society, every bad decision women make, we're bailed out of. Like if you sleep around, we have birth control. Mm-hmm. If you get pregnant, the government bails you out or he'll bail you out. Mm-hmm. And then even if you like if you leave him, you get half or you get child support and then some simp will bail you out after that. And then on top of that, like if you're homeless, there's women's shelters. So it's like literally every bad decision women make, like we're bailed out and like men pay for it.
Yeah.
And then we call them trash as a thank you for building all these systems that protect us.
How do women react when you say that kind of stuff?
They love me. They're like super receptive and open.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No.
You get called a pick me?
Yeah, but I'm like, what, you want to die alone? Like, I don't say it. I don't say it because, like, I say it because I believe it and because it makes sense. When I hear an argument that makes sense, I agree with it. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like a pick me is the dumbest argument because it's like, what, do you want to die alone?
I think, well, I mean, there's cats.
What are cats? Oh, okay. I'm allergic, so I do have a dog.
Okay.
Shout out, Kevin.
So I want to. I'm curious about this journey. Okay, so you go to this conference.
Yeah.
And then you start watching certain channels on YouTube.
Yeah, I read Rollo's book.
The first one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I read The Game.
Okay, Neil Strauss.
Yeah, and then I just watched. Like, I used to do like 5 to 10 reactions a day. So I just watched a lot of people, like a lot of content.
Mm-hmm. Any particular channels? You mentioned a couple already.
Oh, gosh. Steph is Cold. Mm-hmm. If I hear a guy that's talking to, or no, not Steph is Cold. Alpha Male Strategies. If I hear a guy and watches, he tells me he watches Alpha Male Strategies. I'm like, nah.
Oh, really?
Red
flag.
Nah, I know what you're on. Nah, I'm too.
Okay.
Rollo Tomasi, yeah. Kevin Samuel. I went on Kevin Samuel's show. Okay. I went on, I watched Fresh and Fit. I watched, yeah, there was a lot of different like Red Pill channels.
Okay. What was your appearance on Kevin Samuel's show like? Did you call in or?
Yeah, I called in because I was like, oh, this is easy. I just clicked the Zoom link and I'm on. Wow. Like, I was excited. And he was just asking me about my boyfriend at the time.
Okay.
I actually did have a call with him after. You didn't see it, like, because, like, that was on screen. But I talked to him after. He told me to dump my boyfriend at the time.
Oh.
Yeah, he did. I did, yeah.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Oh,
shout geez. Out.
why? Why did he say that? You don't have to go too personal if you don't want to, but like that's quite a...
Yeah.
You don't have to if you don't want to.
It was just the right. Yeah. Okay. It wasn't the right. You know,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And then when did you start your show, the pregame?
I started it February 27th of last year.
Okay. And what was the impetus for that?
That's a big word.
Oh, what made you decide to start that?
Okay, that's better.
What was the reason?
It was kind of like I when I was in London, it was the most diverse city I've ever been in. Mm. I thought it was so cool how I could meet someone from Italy, the U.S., mm-hmm. Romania, freaking.
Everywhere.
I don't know. Anywhere. Yeah. And I just thought it was so cool that I could have all of these different cultures in one place. Mm-hmm. And even just playing on like sports teams and at the school, like there's a lot of international students. Mm-hmm. And so I was thinking like I could start this show and bring in like guys and girls to talk about like dating and different like topics. I didn't necessarily think it was going to be like Red Pill. It was more to, like a fun show. But then... I don't know, the Red Pill topics like worked, they're doing well, and I thought they were interesting, so.
That's cool. And what have you learned from doing it? I mean, you've done how many episodes now?
Oh gosh, I think we're at like 80, like 80. Roughly a little under 80. Okay. I've learned that like as women, we say a lot of nothing. And I catch myself doing it. And my ex-boyfriend would say this to me, like he'd be like, shut up. And I didn't really, I was like, well, that was rude until I've talked to women for months and months. And you'll just ask them, and we don't answer questions.
No.
And I'm not saying I'm special. Okay. I'd like to say, I don't say I'm special at any of this. Uh-huh. I do the same things. But I'll like catch myself because I've talked to so many girls. Like, we don't answer questions. It's like, we'll move the goalpost. Mm-hmm. We'll do like, yeah. And we're always late because when I'm recruiting men and women, the women, like the men are always more on time than the women. And the women, it's like 50-50 if they'll even show up. Like,
more
yeah.
Flaky.
So I'll feel like I'm a guy when I'm recruiting because like you want attractive girls to come mm-hmm. on the show, you know? And I'll be like, wow, I keep getting flaked on. This isn't nice.
I think it's so interesting what you said there. You said that you felt like a guy.
And then you ask them questions. They don't answer the question you asked. And then they just say things and you're like, you can't just say.
Y'all see what we have to deal with now our whole lives.
And I'm not saying men, like some men do it too, yeah. But it is just not the same. Mm-hmm. It is not the same. Like the more I do the show, the more I think women shouldn't vote.
She's going there. She's going there.
Yeah, yeah. I'll take one for the team. Yeah. I'll do it.
Yeah,
I'll
you can say things that, you know, I mean, I can say anything, but like, you know, you've got the female privilege. So some things are better.
No, you do too. You broke the deadlifting.
Yeah, right? I go back and forth on this.
Your turn our rights.
For the moment.
I'll take one for the team to get the outcomes I want.
For this moment in time, I'm identifying as a man. My beard, you know, I put the beard oil in. It's, you know, it's shining. Tell me some of the differences you found between the USA and the UK.
In what regard?
Okay, let's start with the topic that we're discussing. You're mm-hmm. talking about intersexual mm-hmm. dynamics and relationships, mm-hmm. dating, all of that. Mm-hmm. Are there some fundamental or noticeable patterns and differences you've seen?
Okay. This is my analysis of the UK versus the US. One, the guys dress better in the UK.
Agreed.
Yeah. Like I would say overall they're more like fashion-y. Mm-hmm. So do the women, mm-hmm. but I would say like the guys, it's more like noticeable. Second thing, the girls here, they still do the wild shit, but they're a little classier about it. That's my interpretation. And in the UK, it's different because everything closes early here. Mm-hmm. So I feel like the nightlife scene is kind of different.
Okay.
Like I don't drink, so I'm not really like, you know.
You're not out there.
Just... No. But just yeah. Like I don't. Oh God.
I threw you off.
No, I'm not even gonna go there, but it's interesting, the UK.
I feel like you had something really interesting to say and you censored yourself.
I just feel like a lot of like the modern like mentality is similar here. I just think the girls aren't as like, I would think in Miami it would be a lot easier to get girls to come on the show and like say crazy shit. Mm-hmm. Even though like there's other girls that like they think the same way and have the same mentality, but they're not as like open.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Yeah. So
when you talk about that mentality, what is the mentality of the modern woman, the average modern woman that you see in the US or in the UK? How would you describe that mentality?
It's like they almost hate men.
Okay.
It's like a predisposition where they just like they feel like they don't need men, even though men built the world we live in and we literally couldn't survive without men. Like even being a single woman is a privilege because in most of like history, how are you going to do that? Mm-hmm. Good luck.
And where do you think that comes from?
The hatred of men.
Yeah.
I think it's in our media. And it's kind of like, it's even in phrases we say. Like I even said something earlier. I said, my dad knocked my mom up. And I was thinking about like, oh, that's kind of like putting it on the man. And it's like, there's phrases like that we use all the time and you don't think twice about it. And I think that men have an innate protection like towards women. So And so you guys will give girls the benefit of the doubt. When I am a girl, so I'm like, stop it. She knows what she's doing. Like, stop it.
So where are men messing up?
I just think they put up with too much. Let her leave. Like if she's going to treat you like that and like let her go because she doesn't, she clearly doesn't want you. If she like, okay. I tell this to my brothers, like, you know what it's like to have a girl. Like most guys that have done well know what it's like to have a girl obsessed with them. Mm-hmm. And so like, I just feel like you should, you know, wait for that.
Okay.
because if she's treating you like an option, you are, and she's probably talking to like 10 other dudes, like stop it. Mm-hmm.
How do you think that the world of, because here's something that's interesting because with you're in your mid 20s, right? Mm-hmm. So you've grown up in an era where smartphones and social media have always been there during those formative years in your you know, teens, preteens to teens, and so on.
I got mine in eighth grade.
Yeah. So this is something that's interesting because by the time the smartphone and social media came out, in my case, I was already in my 20s. Mm-hmm. So there was an era before that, even pre-internet and pre-email and all that. And so I think even with a 10-year age gap, say between someone who's 35 and 25 or 32 and 22, there's actually, because of the technology, there can be quite a chasm because when I was in school, there was no smartphones, there was no social media, none of that stuff existed. Even the internet was very much in its infancy. We had dial-up, first of all, and it was very slow. When I was in school, it took, to download a song, it took, like, you know, if you wanted to download an album back when people were using Napster you left it to run overnight.
I've never even heard of Napster.
Yeah, you'd never.
I don't even know what that is.
There we go, right? Generation gap. It's a peer-to-peer music sharing site. This is when people, you know, started downloading and stuff. I mean, do you know what a CD is?
Yeah, I know.
I've actually met people who don't. I'm like, oh my gosh, man. Am I a boomer now?
Okay, my sister said that. Okay,
so, boomer. Yeah. So... That's so interesting to me because I can't really, if I think back to when I was in school, whether in Saudi Arabia or in the UK in boarding school, if I think of adding smartphones and social media on top of all that teenage stuff already going on, it just sounds like an absolute nightmare. But I think that it's interesting because people who are now in their 20s, a lot of stuff that is just normal to them and standard, and I don't think they're really thinking that, oh, you know, there was a whole era before this, before Instagram and Snapchat and you know, YouTube and TikTok and all these things that it's so new.
Yeah.
It's so new. So what kind of impact do you think that that's had on the perspectives of both men, young men and women, who are growing up now and who are coming up and experiencing all this?
I think that it gasses up girls' egos.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that Instagram is like a toxic app. I mean, it can be. You can't, I will say, social media has changed my life for the better. So. I get to do, I love this job. I am so happy now. Like, this is so fun and I am good. Like, but I would say overall as a society, it's like been worse. And I think like girls, like we think we're hotter than we are because and I noticed this partially at the pickup boot camp. So I'm like, you're rejecting him. And I was like, I wonder if I, and I was like, because you can get like crazy DMs from people and girls think that these guys are actually trying to like wife her. I have brothers, so like they would humble me. You know what I mean? shout out Austin. Shout out Adam. but like, yeah, I feel like Instagram just like gasses up girls' egos and it makes men like more lonely, I guess.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think one thing that technology's done a lot, but in terms of the dating market and those dynamics, one thing it's done from the female perspective, you've already touched on this, is if you think back to even like the most beautiful girl in a town or a village in a city or in the past, right? It was, she only had access to the men in her locality, right? So the most beautiful girl in a school or a college or whatever, there was still this limited pool. So she might get gassed up or, you know, it could be even an average girl. She doesn't need to be beautiful. But I think that you're getting attention from the males in your local vicinity. Whereas now, a girl can be hot and have tens, hundreds of thousands, millions of potential interested males expressing interest and giving daily validation from the entire world. Right? There can be dudes in Africa, Asia, the Middle East, Europe, USA, wherever, right? And there's just, and guys are so thirsty online, the guys are just there messing up the game online by with their insane thirst. And it's just all there. So it's like, wow, how can this woman not have?
Yeah.
Like, of course she has it.
This is why we got to bring back bullying.
Tell me more.
I feel like everyone should have a healthy amount of bullying growing up.
Agreed.
Because I think that's why people from bigger families are better than everyone else. because if I started to think too highly of myself, my older brother would humble me.
Yes.
He would tell me, "No, you're ugly." And not like, I'd be like, "Oh, this guy messaged me." Yeah, okay.
Savage.
Yeah, shout out Austin. And I'm like, I just feel like it grounds you a little bit, and it doesn't, you don't get that big of an ego because like the people around you won't let you.
Yes.
But now we're afraid to be humble, and nobody can be made fun of.
Yes.
And that's what I don't like. That's why when they were making me get in trouble for over my whale comments, I'm like, whales can be made fun of just like everyone else. If you want to make fun of me for being a ginger, I'll take it.
Yeah. Man, and I was going to say, okay, carrying on from that point, I think, so we've touched about the inflated ego with girls, but what it's also done with guys is it's taken away that, we talked before about that rejection, right? So now the way most guys interact is it's all online, right? It's all through the screen. So you don't need to develop courage, you don't need to develop social skills and ability to talk in the same way, right? You can just sit there and be typing and swiping, which is a very different skill set to actually walking up to a woman that you're interested in and breaking the ice and trying to have a conversation and so on. And so I think on both levels, it's really, really skewing the situation.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, there's studies from some of these dating apps showing something that, I mean, women find what, like 80% of men to be
unattractive.
below average.
I mean, we only swipe right. Like, it depends what you look at, but like I would say roughly 5% of the time we swipe right on dating apps.
And men, it's something like what?
50,
60.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
and then I'm like, "Oh, is she hot in there?"
Yeah, it's hard out there. And another thing that happens with men is men are much more susceptible to the apex fallacy, right? Which is that in terms of how we are rated and judged. So when people are even talking about men or talking about dating and talking about stuff, oftentimes they're referring to like 20%, 10% to 20%. Of the male population. The other 80 to 90% is almost invisible, right? They're not even being considered. When I'm hearing certain conversations about dating, I'm like, you guys are talking about like a very, very specific set of, go ahead.
Yeah, even the girl yesterday, I was like, "You can't have everything." And she's like, "Why not?" I'm like, "I don't know, because we're human." because these are people.
Yeah, and this is another challenge because of course, in this era, we have, you know, under the age of 30 in a lot of cities in Western countries, women are actually out earning men on average. We know women are getting the vast majority. I think about 65% of university degrees are going to women now. And as we know, typically women tend to date and mate across and up socioeconomically and in terms of status and so on. So all of these things are happening at the same time. And it's creating a very... I don't know, man. It's creating a weird situation.
I asked girls this on my show where I was like, what would you take to submit to a guy to the point, like if he told you to quit, you'd quit? Because that's really submitting, is if you like really trust him, like to make that big of a decision. And they would tell me like basically top 10% of guys. And so I'd be like, "Do you think you're a top 10% girl?" No. Okay. Well, and so it's like, I never understood that. Like, I don't think money equates to like submission. Why do you have to date someone that makes more money?
Yeah. I think so much of it is we can't come, a lot of stuff is just rooted in biology, right?
Yeah, but
this is the thing. So it's the same as, you know, men preferring younger women, women preferring taller men. It's just rooted in biology. I think no matter how much we advance technologically and with all our social stuff and cultural stuff and whatever, we still have, when it comes to mating preferences, it's still really basic and primal.
Right. But my thing is you can't have everything.
Oh, of course
so,
not.
And so like, I don't know if you,
but people have been told, women have been told that they
can't. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. I'm like, you can't have everything. Yeah. No, dude, just because he makes less than you doesn't mean he wants to come back home to an argumentative girl mm-hmm. that's going to like question every decision you make. Plus, we know we're crazy. Like, come on. Like, I just think girls, I feel like men just make better decisions in general.
Yeah.
And not everyone. I know they're going to come at you with like, not every, but like, I just feel like even the most rational girls I know, like men are more sane.
Well, another thing we haven't talked about, and this is you've clearly had a good model throughout your entire life mm-hmm. of a healthy relationship and marriage and male female dynamic mm-hmm. dynamics. Mm-hmm. You've got lots of siblings out there. Mm-hmm. The truth is that millions and millions mm-hmm. of people, huge percentage, do not. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is where a lot of it comes from. I think that the reason why so many, beyond the feminist brainwashing, I think mm-hmm. deep down the reason why a lot of younger women mm-hmm. and women of our generation think that they can't, you know, submit in that word or, mm-hmm. you know, take the kind of second role or be a homemaker or whatever is because they've seen that go bad for another woman, possibly their mother, right? Mm-hmm. They've seen, oh, you rely on a man mm-hmm. and then the man goes away and what. And so I think that there's massive trust issues there.
Yeah, but they just heard the mom's side.
Of course they did.
Like, I have friends that, like, had a broken fit, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, mm-hmm. their mom would just feed all this shit to them about their dad. And then they turn 20 and they're like, what happened? And the dad's mm-hmm. like, she hasn't been letting me see you.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, I don't know.
And, by the way, I don't think this is specifically gendered, actually, because it happens with men as well. Mm-hmm. I think the reason why so many men are afraid to commit or why so many younger men are opposed to marriage, it's not just as simple as the laws and the incentives. That's that's a part of it, but it's also what they have seen modeled, right? So if they've seen it, there are millions of people who legitimately have never seen like a healthy male female relationship, and they project that outwards because they think that that is just the norm and the default. And in some communities it absolutely is. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. So I can see how someone would grow up in that and be like, well, mm-hmm. it didn't work out for my parents. It didn't work out for my friend's parents. It didn't work. Yeah. So.
And like the quality of wife is just like so much lower nowadays.
I think the quality of both is lower, to be real. I agree with you. But I think that there are millions and millions of men out there uh-huh. who are not even, you know, and some of this is from not lacking encouragement. I think one of the hard—I'll tell you what I mm-hmm. think is one of the mm-hmm. hardest challenges for young men right now. Mm-hmm. I think one of the hardest challenges for young men is being very clear on what your purpose is as a man. Mm-hmm. Because as we've said in the past, mm-hmm. your role as a man was very simple. Mm-hmm. Whatever people think of gender roles, you mm-hmm. can't really argue that in the past and still in many parts of the world, if you were growing up as a young man or a young woman, mm-hmm. what your role is in society, mm-hmm. in relationships and so on, it's clear cut, mm-hmm. right? It's very clear. You're a man. You're going to be a provider. You're going to be a protector. Mm-hmm. You're going to be the one who is leading. You're a woman. You're going to have children. You're going to be the primary nurturer and caregiver. You're going to look after the home and so on. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can work a little. Yes, the man can do some of this, but those are your roles, right? Mm-hmm. That's it. Whereas now you've got, as I said, an ever increasing number and percentage of women mm-hmm. who are they've got money, mm-hmm. they've got their careers, they've got their they've got all that, the stuff that a man would typically mm-hmm. historically provide or still provide in many places. It's like, well, they've got that, mm-hmm. but they're still the same biological attraction triggers and imperatives. So I think for lots of young men, they're mm-hmm. kind of like. And they're literally being told mm-hmm. by women and by society and by the media,
yeah.
oh, you know, we don't need men, whatever, single independent woman. And I think there's so many guys out there who are like, okay, well, what do I do? Do I turn into, you know, do I just take the macking route and I just, you know, try to get laid with as many women as mm-hmm. possible? Mm-hmm. Do I, you know, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of young men don't know the answer to that. And I think that's why from the Jordan Petersons to the Andrew Tates, you've seen this meteoric rise with young men, especially who are looking for this meaning and purpose and guidance to find some type of direction.
Yeah. I think the girls are worse than the guys, like by a lot.
Tell me because, so. Tell
because,
me how.
Because men are still expected to protect and provide, and they still make more money than girls by and large. Like overall.
Not younger. Not in the 20s. I'm talking about young men. Let's say guys under 30. Guys under 30 are not out earning women under 30. Not anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess you could, if you want to make the money. I just feel like they're still expected to protect and provide.
They are.
But like women aren't young or pure. So like that's what I'm saying. Like I think it's like worse on the girls because like the average age of first marriage in the UK is what, 31?
Something like that. Yeah, I'm saying this is the challenge for young men. It's like, where do you fit in, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, I could be a provider and a protector, but women are kind of saying that they don't want or need that. And also, I'm not, if I look at the guys who are doing well with women, they're not necessarily doing the providing and protecting thing. So what am I to?
You don't think rich guys get chicks?
Of course, are most rich guys necessarily doing that traditional thing? They're not.
Oh no!
Right? Exactly. Right. They're just running game. So these young men are like, oh, okay. Well, that's the solution.
Yeah.
Right. I learned some game.
Yeah.
And maybe I go to the gym and you know I make some type of money and I just try to attract a lot of females and have a lot of, you know, spin all these plates and whatever it is. But I think that it's confusing.
Yeah.
I think it's confusing for women.
Okay.
And it's confusing for men too, because it's men are the, like, okay, well, I think men are more reactionary because women sort of set the rules.
Yeah.
Women sort of set the rules because women are the gatekeepers of sex and intimacy.
Right.
And so men are always going to adapt and react to the females in the environment, right? So that's why the way people date and have relationships around the world in different countries and communities is very, very different. Because if it's just like, oh, okay, the women are much more traditional and chaste and conservative and they respond well to a guy who's just got a good character and can protect and provide, then men are like, oh, okay, for me to get a great woman, I need to do that thing and be that thing.
Yeah.
Whereas here or in the States, particularly in certain parts, it's just like, okay, well, they're not responding to that. So I now have to change my strategy. Maybe in my head it might be nice.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice to have that, but that ain't working here. So I need to take this other route.
Yeah, I mean, this is why birth control, ban birth control.
Ban birth control. Tell me more. Wow. Pearl is going, okay.
That's when everything starts. Well, maybe with the boat. No, because birth control allowed girls to go for those type of guys before. Like there was more of a consequence, so you would think twice before you sleep with the bad guy or like the, you know, that archetype, right? But now it's like, oh, there's a cop out, there's a bailout, so you don't have to think twice. And so that's why do you think we got all these baby mamas with like the dad that's got 3 different kids and 3 different babies. And then they're also bailed out because they're paid to be single mothers. That was next, right? So it's like, I don't know. I feel like all the world's problems started with birth control.
All the world's problems.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
I mean, because it all started with the breakdown of the family. And if you look at that chart where it talks about like the rate that women were taking oral contraceptives with the divorce rate, it's like the same. I'm sure you've seen it. You're in the yeah. And so it's like
it's also the welfare policies. That's a big
that's
factor.
True. I don't think it was one thing, but I think that started it.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I'm like, if we got rid of birth control, like I feel like girls would be more selective with who they slept with. You know, we'd see families come back again. And get rid of the single mom policies too. I'm not, okay. And maybe they're right to vote. I don't know.
we need dictator Pearl in the building. What do you think is the biggest challenge that young women face right now in this world?
I think the biggest challenge, I think it's really confusing for like young women because you're told to like
do what men do.
Yeah. And we're not men.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that's the biggest challenge.
Okay. I've said what I think is the biggest challenge for men. What do you think is the biggest challenge for men?
Hoes.
How so?
Like, I just think that they're getting finessed.
More than previously?
Yeah, like more than ever.
Okay, in what way?
Like, there's so many guys, well, minus the ones, there's two types, okay. There's the one guys that are like the top percentage. They're living their life. They're having a good time because they just have unlimited access to like women and they're like, they're good, right? Second type is like the guys that kind of get used for their like money and resources because the girls don't really like them like that. And I would say like it's like they'll marry a girl and then she'll leave and take half. That's 50% of marriages. So I would say that like a bad marriage can literally ruin a dude's life.
Yeah.
And then there's a third type that just are like very lonely. And I would say that's their biggest problem. And I would agree with you though, the purpose, I would say like men do lack purpose nowadays and they're very confused at like what they're supposed to do. So like before, you know, masculinity was celebrated, but now it's punished almost.
That's the thing.
And it's really sad because I'll see guys on my show. Sometimes they'll come on and sometimes I call them simps, you know, like and I do, and I'll see them and I see that they want to say something and they're like conditioned.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Heavily, and it's like, heavily. And I'm like, why are you like, you don't have to say this because the girls are here.
Yes.
Like, and it makes us lose respect for you because we know you're full of shit. Mm-hmm. We know, like, we can feel, we know when we're on shit. We know when you're on shit. Yep. Like,
I think the summary of what we're really saying is that women are and have been trained / indoctrinated to suppress their feminine energy.
Yeah.
And to lean into more masculine traits.
Yeah.
And men have been encouraged and brainwashed to suppress their masculine energy. I think it's so interesting that toxic masculinity is a phrase, mm-hmm. and toxic femininity is not, right? Just that fact, just the fact that there isn't even the
it does exist, but it's funny, it's the opposite.
Yeah, but it exists, but nobody says it. It's not a known phrase.
No, I've had a couple girls on the show send me like, oh, really? They say I should do a show topic on that. It's kind of popular in like the weirdo space. I don't know, like the liberal, like that sort of. Yeah, but when they call toxic femininity, they, when a girl like does the traditionally feminine thing. So
of course,
so,
it's all inverted.
So they have it, but it's like the opposite.
Ah, okay. Yeah, this is the thing. So
you want to be submissive?
Yeah.
Toxic femininity.
It's an inversion because, again, I think so much stuff, we live in this weird age of people really, really hating biology.
Yeah.
Right? There's like this assault on biology and this notion that the way we are naturally wired is wrong. I mean, down to the fact that a man, you know, people literally saying a man can be or is a woman and vice versa. Like the most, you can't kind of get more basic biology than that, let alone in terms of actual behaviors and things that people are attracted to or put off by and interests. You know, they're always trying to, in certain fields, oh, we need to get 50-50 gender split in this or in, and it's like, bro, you can't have freedom and have liberty and also expect to get these equal outcomes in everything because men and women are fundamentally different. And some people just view that as a problem that needs to be fixed. And I'm like, that is not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's not just okay, it's good. Mm-hmm. The differences and that dynamic were designed to be complementary to one another.
And this is the... Like, I don't think most girls would want to do what men do if they actually had to do it.
They've been trained to say that they do.
Like, okay, like the boss bitch thing. Like, I have a business, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the thing. I'm like, I swear to God, most of you would not want to do this shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, and this is, I outsource decision making to dudes. Like, I literally found it because I was like, no, because I will think about a decision for like 10 years and I just can't, I don't know. Like, I just think this is how we're wired. Mm-hmm. And it's stressful making decisions all the time. And it's like, even the way I do it, like, it takes a lot off to know, like, I can go to my dad or go to my manager and like, they kind of like do it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I'm like, I swear to God, all of these boss chicks, whatever, you would not want to do this. Like, yeah. You would not. Yeah.
It's so interesting because you're comfortable and happy to say that.
Yeah.
A lot of women feel the same way.
Yeah.
But the programming will not allow them to say it.
Yeah.
Just like there are a lot of men who feel a certain type of way about things. You kind of suggested this with some of the people you've even had on your podcast.
Yeah.
But they feel like they can't say that thing because they've been told it's misogynistic or that it's sexist.
They don't want to get canceled.
So everyone's operating from this position of inauthenticity, mm-hmm. where people don't even want to just say what they themselves are, even like what they generally believe or where their natural inclination is, because they've been told. Women have been told, you know, they feminists like to make it seem like they're totally cool with women just being homemakers and you know, looking after the kids. They're really not okay with it, right? Like a lot of feminists do not, they don't like that. They're not really in favor of that choice per se. They like that word choice, but actually when a woman makes that type of choice, they'll be the ones who are attacking.
Did you see the TikTok I posted? Well, I posted on Instagram too with my friend Allie.
I don't think so.
So it was trending on Twitter.
Okay.
And I asked my friend Allie, she's a housewife. Mm. And I was like, show me your ring. And she showed him this big rock. And I was like, how'd you get this ring? She's like, I submitted to my and okay. She's just like talking about how she's like, yeah, you could go work for a boss or you could go work for your man. Like, why wouldn't you want to work for your man? Like, and it got such a backlash that it was trending
Morgan,
on.
Right?
Was trending on Twitter. And I'm like, why are you guys mad? I'm not saying there's like one way to do things. Like my mom worked. It wasn't like, you know, she was like a homemaker.
Yep.
But I'm just saying like, at some point, like we don't like making decisions. We think we like making decisions.
The brainwashing is deep, man. And when you think of the people who orchestrate this stuff, it's like, cool, they've just been able to essentially double their tax base and smash down people's real wages over the decades. Mm-hmm. And now this stuff is not accidental. This is the thing, you know, people think all this stuff is just, it's like, no, these things over the decades are very intentional and planned and effective, sadly. You know, it's very, very effective. You can tell when something's extremely effective is when people are essentially repeating propaganda without even knowing its source or the fact that it is propaganda, that someone gave them. Like when you hear people even repeating certain phrases and arguments, it's like, so that came from the top. Mm-hmm. You were told to say that phrase. You don't even know that you're, which is why oftentimes when people can't even explain what they're saying, like they're saying that they believe something and I'm like, you can't even explain it. You just keep repeating the line you've been told to say, but you can't explain it. When I challenge you on it, it breaks down very, very quickly because you haven't gotten past the line. We saw this actually, we don't want to talk about the scamdemic necessarily, but you saw this over the past 2.5 years with all the stuff people were saying in 2020 and 2021, and they're just repeating it. Like they've been told what phrase to say, and you ask one question and they just get angry because they haven't come to that conclusion themselves. It was just like, okay, this is the phrase you repeat. This is the slogan. This is the motto. And everyone just walks around like an NPC saying it. And I think that the exact same thing is happening here, even with, you know, a strong, independent woman, strong, independent, like there's no phrase, oh, strong, independent man. Like that's not a phrase, right? That's strong and independent.
I'm alpha.
Even the fact that it's just one of those things that's been repeated. And young women now feel pressured or like, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. So instead of leaning into any type of femininity, they now just think they need to compete and be like men in every avenue.
And I'm like, most of you do not work hard enough. I swear to God. I'm like, you would not want to do like, oh God, they would not want to do like half the work that I did to like get, you know what I'm saying? Like, you guys can barely get on the treadmill. Like how the hell are you going to start a whole business? Like, okay.
Yeah, I honestly don't think
Big
most people
Shirley.
Want to. Big Shirley wants to.
Diane. Rebecca.
Where does it go from here, Pearl? What's next?
What's next? With what?
I mean, you're on this mission. You're going to fix the world. You're going to restore the proper balance.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
I mean, what's next?
Things are going to get better. Are they going to get worse?
I think it'll get worse.
Optimism. We love it.
No, I'm just being real. Like, yeah. I don't. I would say worse.
Where do you think the West is going to be in 10 years on this front?
Probably, I think unless there's like a war or like a really bad recession, like I feel like unless there's something that makes like, okay, if there is a power outage right now, mm-hmm. do you know how many families would form? Because all the girls would look in their friend zone and be like, please take me. Please.
You need an EMP, fam.
I was just playing. I don't want Chad. I was just playing.
Okay.
I was so scared. Like, yeah, so I don't know. But unless, like, I just think the world's, like, too easy. Mm. So unless that happens, I would say it's probably going to get worse.
I love that. There we go.
Do you? You no? love that?
No, not necessarily. Pearl, where can people find and follow you online?
Okay, I got a lot. So, yeah. So you can find me Pearly Things with a Z on Twitter, just.pearlythings on Instagram, and I'm shadow banned, so you have to type out the whole thing. Just Pearly Things on YouTube, and just pearlythings.4 and .5 on TikTok. They keep taking away my account, so make sure you follow the next one. I know Zuby says they spy on you.
Yeah. Don't use TikTok, guys.
Yeah, it's Chinese Communist Party spyware. Yeah. So if you do, make sure to follow me on it and have them spy on you, you know, watching my stuff. And yeah, I think that's all of them.
Awesome. Pearl, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.